Robert Mueller has poked his head out of his burrow, which means we're in for six more weeks of impeachment talks. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Robert Mueller, tired of his report being misinterpreted, has come out with a surprise statement to the media. Serious, solemn, by the book, his words are being seen as the strongest call for impeachment action by the Congress yet. Ed, first thoughts.
Well, my thoughts are he was, as we said on this show several times, being put in a corner because what was in the report and the interpretation were very different. So he couldn't call the man a liar. And sooner or later, he had to get the truth out. And what he's done is pretty clever. He's put it back at the feet of the devil, as it were. The AG, the Attorney General, didn't tell the truth. The president, on the other hand, is singing his praises and glories, saying, I've been exonerated, which is not true at all. What does this do? The Congress has the ultimate power to impeach, and their impeachment powers are not fettered by the AG. They can make a decision of, as they did with Nixon, any attempt to interfere with justice is an impeachable offense. So Nixon was impeached for obstruction of justice. This could happen again.
On Trump's defense, tweeting, there was insufficient evidence and therefore in our country, a person is innocent. The case is closed. So we've gone from there was no collusion to there was no obstruction to, well, there is not enough evidence.
Well, is that for him to decide? He's not head of the Supreme Court. Not yet, anyway. He doesn't make that call any more than a person who's pulled to the dock gets to call whether he's guilty or innocent. The evidence says there is presumption here of a violation of the law, and that's what we have to go on.
And as you mentioned, William Barr, where to for him now that he's basically been accused of misrepresenting Mueller's report for political gains and continues to do so?
Well, he's playing it both ways, as I said. Sometimes he's the attorney general, and sometimes he's the president's attorney. And I think he can skirt this for a long time before he's impeached himself. I don't know what action can be taken, but I assume the Congress, they put him in, they can take him out.
Do you still feel that Dems need to beat Trump purely at the ballot box, or is impeachment the path forward now?
Well, there are two types of impeachment. One impeachment is impeachment of your credibility, and that's what's happening. And the Dems have to keep going at his tax records, at the possibilities of him violating other policies and laws of the United States, and keep hammering that because those are all impeachable as offenses, and let the people impeach him at the ballot box.
And just before we move off this one, what about statements like Professor Alan Lichtman on CNN this week, who said to win 2020, Dems need to impeach Trump?
I just don't believe that. I think they can do quite a bit of damage to Trump, so much damage that people won't want him as president. If you take that bait of impeaching him, then you strengthen the middle ground who are against impeachment, and they will vote for Trump. So I think you have to impeach him in policy, but not in fact.
Let's look at some of the areas the United States' possibly illegitimate president is still affecting. Military policy, Trump has contradicted National Security Advisor John Bolton on North Korea and Iran. Trump has said he doesn't want to see Iran change leadership, and North Korean missile tests did not violate UN resolutions.
How crazy is that? These are his policies. They aren't somebody else's policies. He's the one that's closing Iran in, saying they have potential for nuclear strikes. He's the one that said the North Koreans are a danger to us all. And any missiles, these are his words, any missiles sent anywhere are a threat to the United States, and we will bury you. Well, does a man have a memory? Maybe this is an early sign of the word D word.
Even without Trump, though, where are we on North Korea? I mean, the slings that Kim Jong-un is throwing at Joe Biden are making more headlines than their rockets being thrown into the Sea of Japan. It seems like the administration is sleepwalking on this one right now.
Well, Joe Biden, I'm not sure whether he should be thankful for this or upset, because basically Kim Il-sung thinks Joe Biden's going to be the next president unless he interferes. The way the South Koreans interfere with the North Korean elections. He wants to play political interference the way the Russians did. So his slings and arrows at Joe Biden give Biden a clear path to the presidency.
Who knew you could get less subtle than the Russians? Apparently the North Koreans have managed.
They sure have.
And in Syria, Iran is withdrawing Hezbollah forces, according to the State Department. U.S. and Russia taking part in talks. What's going on?
Well, it looks like this is over. And it's not over in a good way for the United States. Rebuilding Syria now has to be done. And the United States has to be involved with the person who is their enemy. So there's still talk, subtle talk, about getting a new leader in Syria so that the wounds can be healed from this war. Until that's done, it's going to be a very tragic situation, something we haven't seen recently since the Second World War. So I think the Russians and the Americans are talking about how do we get new leadership and form a new government in that country so that they can both get out.
And wanted to touch on this one this week, unpack it a little bit, climate change. Ohio and Indiana have had record-matching tornadoes. Meanwhile, the southeast U.S. has been experiencing some of the hottest May temperatures on record. Climate change being pointed at as a culprit in both of these cases. But can people really wrap their heads around this isn't just a thing scientists are harping on about? Changes in our climate are having real-world consequences.
Well, this is called climate change. Climate change means the climate is changing in multiple directions, not just one. And those different directions have big consequences for animals, forest, and flora and fauna on the planet. We can do something to save ourselves and the rest of the planet. Now, we may not be able to reverse climate change, but we can certainly slow it down. The climate is going to change. I'll concede that to the naysayers. But the question is, what can we do with the trajectory that makes it less dangerous for everyone? And now the people in the middle of the country are not saying there's no climate change. They're just asking, how can we mitigate it?
I want to circle back on that, but the Trump administration, in response to the climate emergency, has ordered the U.S. Geological Survey to stop modeling climate change beyond 2040. So Republicans not just willing to ignore the evidence, they're now actively burying it.
Well, burying it at whose expense? At the people in Ohio's expense? At the people in Iowa's expense? Something has to be done. We know that now, not just here, but Europe. Never. This is not a discussion in Europe. Even with Brexit, Europeans across the channel are talking about this and doing something about it. We will all have to do something about it. And again, I'm not saying the climate will not change, but what can you do to lessen the impacts?
And I don't know if you've heard this one yet, Ed, only sort of breaking before we spoke. It's not a joke, not satire. The Trump administration Department of Energy has started to rebrand fossil fuels as freedom molecules and freedom gas.
You don't want me to laugh?
I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
What are you talking about here? And, you know, sometimes you do things that are so ridiculous you hurt yourself. And this is one that could really come back to bite them. Because even people who don't believe in climate change don't believe in changing the language so that you can achieve your ends. So this is a lose, lose, lose.
A little bit of wrong think there by the Trump administration. And I think we'll have to do a longer episode on this at some point. But you were mentioning Europe there. Given your background, Ed, How prepared are American cities getting for these effects if we assume they're going to get worse? Evidence or not, tornadoes, heat waves, rising coastlines, where is American infrastructure at in dealing with these things in the future?
Well, we missed an opportunity just recently with the infrastructure bill that the president walked out on. The infrastructure bill was aimed at dealing with some of this. The old infrastructure, when it's renewed, it'd be to a higher and better standard. So at the federal level, we're lost. But at the state level, places like California and even Ohio and most of the states are taking climate action because they see it. It's in their face. If you live along the Mississippi, you've got to do something. And the states are coming to this party. When the federal government will join them is uncertain, but they're going to have to.
And just circling back on impeachment talk, Nancy Pelosi, she's been in a standoff with Trump over various issues. She's in standoffs with members of her own party over impeachment. She's in standoffs over doctored videos trying to make her appear drunk in public. Ed, Speaker for the House of Reps, it doesn't look like an easy job right now.
No, it isn't. But the more he slings arrows at her, again, he raises her profile. I'm in a fight with this one person. He did that before. It helped Nancy, and it'll help her again. And he's in a hard place with another stuff you haven't mentioned. That's abortion. The abortion issue in Alabama and the abortion issue in Indiana, I believe, was just struck down. The court is going to have to deal with this issue sooner or later. And all the justices are hoping later.
You know, I know we're as responsible as any other media outlet, but it's very easy to get distracted by Trump when all of these other things, abortion, climate change, freedom molecules, are happening in the background.
That's true. But the abortion issue, again, is this baiting the Democrats by bringing this up now? Like the impeachment issue, are they baiting the Democrats to get them off the course of real policies? The Democrats' real policies are about poverty, about health, about equity, and climate change. So the Democrats have to stop fighting these little rear guard actions and get on with the big picture, big policy things and drum them home. We had an election here where people got carried away with a bunch of policies and lost the public. So I think it would behoove the Democrats to step away from impeachment, step away from all this, not stop the investigations, but start hitting the things where Americans really are concerned. They're concerned about these barbiturates and drugs. They're concerned about health care. They're concerned about inequality in incomes. They're concerned about housing. You win elections on the street, not with big, grand ideas.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com/support. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.